All right, I'm going to bring our guest on. We have Gary Shaw joining us. Gary, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
We want to talk a little bit about OCRWC, but before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about Leaky Hourglass Ultra. You're the race director of that. You had it, I think it was last month, end of last month. So give us a quick rundown how it went and kind of if you're doing it again in 2023.
All right. So, the race is held. This was the second year that we had it. So next year we are having it again. We'll be the third year. We have it the last weekend in August because I'm a warm weather runner and I like to see people suffer in the heat. But so this year, the winner went for 70 miles. And the assist, obviously, so one lap lower, 66.6 miles. So a little bit of a drop from the previous year as far as mileage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, within the last man standing ultra, really, it's the top two that are determining the distance. So theoretically, one can have a ton more in the tank.
As far as you get pushed, yeah.
Yeah. So that's interesting. And I know you had some pretty awesome swag because you hooked me up with some of it afterwards, including a hacky sack and so beer koozies. Very themed for you as far as your hobbies there. So I enjoyed that.
Glad you liked it.
And are you plan on doing the flask stand next year? Are you going to do something else? Are you going to change it up?
So I'm not sure what we'll go with for finisher awards next year. It'll probably kind of keeping in. So the first year we did just kind of standard medals. This year we did the finisher flasks. Next year we'll probably kind of try and keep with the kind of theme that I usually have. So we're looking at steins or mugs, but don't hold me 100% on either of those. It's just something, you know, I've still got like 11 months to look at everything and make a choice. So those
right
are some options we're looking at.
Speaking of drinking and doing athletics, you have a plan coming up for OCRWC. But before we give people a rundown of what that's going to look like, let's first talk about the actual event weekend, the official event weekend. What races are you doing this coming weekend at OCRWC?
Okay, so Friday, be doing the 3K, and then Saturday doing the 15K, and then I've got Sunday off. I am not signed up for the team event or the charity open, but I will still be there hanging out. I won't actually leave until Monday afternoon. So this will be my first OCRWC, my first short course OCRWC. The last year that they did the Enduro back in 2019, we traveled to Sydney and did that.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is my first 3K, 15K event.
Sitting out of the 100-meter race?
No. I really don't have a whole lot of business even being in the 3K or 15K. For me to stand a fighting chance, it needs to go over 6 hours.
I feel that.
I'm kind of just out there to have fun, and I always hear people talk about the event and what an experience it is. And I think I talked about this in one of the earlier podcasts. I qualified for the pro division at William Shell's race, Mythic Race. So I figured, you know, this may be the only time I ever qualify for pro. So why not take advantage of it?
Yeah. And it's cool. It's cool to run with all the top pros, and you get to start first thing in the morning for the 15K. 3K, you start at the end of the day, so you get...
Yeah, just looked at that. Yeah, the pro men don't start until 12:15 for the 3K.
Yeah, good stuff. So they just released the 15K course map, and we were just talking about it before we started recording. What were some of your concerns, questions that you had?
So definitely, I mean, everybody I think knew Gibbons was going to be on there. That's been there, I think, at least... last 2 years, maybe it was just this past year's when it got introduced. So we did a kind of a short little version of it at Mythic Race, and that took some time and kind of ate me up. I never had to do a penalty on it, but I'm not sure how long the lanes are going to be at OCRWC, because I think at Mythic Race it was just you had four holds. So if you got a good run at it, like at his race, you had to bear weight on the first hold. But from there, you know, you could skip holds. And, you know, if you got a decent reach, you know, that can really, you only need to make one actual hold, and then you can kind of lache out and hit the bell. But I'm assuming their lanes are going to be, they're going to have more holds than that.
How many did you say was that Will's race?
I think it was four.
Okay.
If I remember right.
I want to say they've done five historically. I'm sure someone might correct me in the comments, but I want to say they've done five historically. So essentially you can reach out to the second one if you're
okay
long enough. And then
so
basically
that might be doable, since I kind of in my head, you know, it's not an endurance event. You know, I only have to nail this obstacle once. I might be able to pull it off, but still we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. The if anyone has trouble with Gibbons and they have one in the festival area, hit me up. I got a pretty good technique that I use. So one of my shoulders is not super good, and I don't like hanging from one arm on it. So I can do it for short periods of time, but the motion of Gibbons kind of bothers me. So I've got a way where I essentially two-hand the Gibbons. So like I'm holding it like two fingers on the Gibbons and like a couple fingers on the hold on like I have two fingers holding the bar, and then the other three fingers kind of grab the like the supporting weight thing. And then I kind of, it's a little bit complicated, but it's doable. So you can essentially go across and you're like,
bear weight on the one arm.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you're bearing weight a little bit, but it's during a transition, right? So I'm pulling up and it's not my full body weight. It's like a percentage of my body weight. So, if they have a Gibbons in the area, the main area, hit me up and I'll give you a quick rundown if anyone else wants that too.
Nice.
Hit me up. No, so they got brought back Force 5 LCD, which I believe is the one where you can essentially lache down the middle or kind of follow the outside edge of it, if I remember correctly. And then you were asking about stairway.
Yeah, I think I looked and it looked like it said stairway, but it looked like it said 3.0 instead of 2.0.
It does. So the normal stairway is Conquer the Gauntlet. Stairway 2.0 was the T-bars that we had at one of the Battle of the Lions events. So they kind of, from that Force 5 rig. Yeah, they swing a little bit. What is Stairway 3.0? I do not know. They have not released pictures of it. I don't have any inside information. We were talking about it before we started. I would guess it's similar to, I would guess they're using kind of like the Valkyrie upgrade we saw at Battle of the Lions, where essentially it's an
so
up-down.
It's pretty much going to be Valkyrie 2.0.
I think so, yeah. So it's going to be an up-down obstacle like Valkyrie, but instead of rings, I think there'll be rig holds. And I don't think it'll be as hard as Battle of the Lions. That was at the Kansas City event in 2021.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to go back and look for pictures of that. But historically, for anyone who's going to OCRWC for the first time, historically, the obstacles are not – I mean, they're technical, but they're not – so hard or long that, you know, if you fall due to a stupid mistake or you slipped and you rest for a little bit, you should be able to get across. And the idea is it's the number of obstacles and the amount of grip strength you're using over the course of the event that's going to knock people out, not necessarily one very, very difficult thing. And I know sometimes that's not always true, but that's the way they kind of designed it historically. So, yeah.
Good. Like what I remember from OCRWC, the Enduro, was actually one of the few clean races I ever ran. I didn't have to do a single penalty for that 24 hours. The obstacles were just difficult enough to where it was challenging.
Mm.
But, you know, I wasn't just killing myself every lap.
Yeah. Though that's because they partnered with True Grit, the Australian obstacle course race company. So essentially they used that course and then kind of upgraded it.
Yeah,
based off of
because True Grit actually still has a 24-hour event there.
They do, yeah.
It's not backed by OCRWC anymore, apparently.
Correct, yeah. Long story short, the OCRWC staff basically realized that it was a lot of effort for essentially very small, you know, payout on the backside. So they, you know, they were making money off it, but it was just not the amount of effort and time it took to run all that stuff from, especially from the other side of the globe. Was not worth the time. So it's kind of why We lost Enduro, unfortunately. I got to run in True Grit's race in 2017, so I never ran the OCRWC version, but I got to do the Australia version. So cool. Looks like they have some really fun obstacles, as always. You mentioned Gibbons. We got LeGaffe's going to be there. That video's online. Twist on Life, which is the forearm one where you kind of hoist with your hands. They got Skitch again. So they brought back some of the fan favorites from last year. So Ricochet is right near the end, like I think similar to where it was last year. Let me see, 39.
I also saw they've got a rig from, apparently it's the exact same rig from 2014, which, like I said, I haven't ever done one of these, but it was saying that they were bringing back a fan favorite of the 2014 rig, so I'm not sure.
Oh, that's cool. I wonder if they'll put the exact same holes as they did on 2014. That would be pretty cool. So, if you're not tracking 2014, first time the Platinum Rig was in almost anyone had seen it. I mean, if you were from Canada, you might have seen it. But they put the Platinum Rig in the race, and it literally just decimated the field. And it wasn't even that hard. Like, I go back and look at pictures of that. And if you put it in the race now, which sounds like that's what they might have done, people just won't talk about it because we've as a community we've all gotten so much better. All right, super excited about OCRWC. Make sure you stop by my booth. I'll have a booth in the merchandise area. I'll be selling books. I'll be selling Blegmits. Got a sale going on books, so basically all my books are $10 except for the two newest ones, essentially the oversized ones. So swing by, pick up a book. You can try on Blegmits, pick up some Blegmits. Also have Normatec boots if people want to recover there. So you can swing by and pick up that. We're doing a giveaway. I'm giving away, let's see, what is it? 2 Aurora jackets and 2 Aurora vests. So stop by and drop your email on my computer. And then we will pick 4 winners out of that. I'm giving away UFO's shoes, UFO's sandals, your choice. I'm sorry, they're not shoes, UFO's sandals. So it's sandals or slides. Again, that'll all come from the same drawing. I think what we'll end up doing is essentially one a day. So we'll do like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and that way we can try to spread out some of the love. So make sure you stop by. I'm not sure if I'm gonna have people come by. I'll probably have people come by every day, and we'll do just the drawing from that specific day. Yeah, that's the plan. That way I encourage you to stop by and say hi to me in case I get lonely. And
what races are you doing, Evan? I'm doing on Sunday
100 meter, 3K, and 15K. As of now, I'm not doing the team because I was not quick enough. Busy with other stuff, so all my friends signed up, so I am currently not on a team. That being said, every Sunday, the morning of, there's always people wandering around being like, I need a third person, so I'm planning on jumping into some random team on Sunday.
Okay.
So if you know a really good team that wants me, go ahead and throw my name over there. But more importantly, there's another event going on Sunday. It's unofficial, questionable legality. But it sounds like fun.
About that when we get there.
It sounds like fun. So Gary, tell me what the unofficial event is, and the OCRWC in no way endorses this. Just want to give that warning up front. So tell us what your larger goal is, and then 2, what you're doing on Sunday.
So, okay. So Sunday I will be kind of hosting, if you will, a rogue beer mile. Like I said, at Venturi LLC, OCRWC has nothing to do with this. This will strictly be put on by myself, and it's more or less, it's almost going to be kind of like the charity open. We're going to keep time and stuff, but it's all for fun. There's not going to be any entry fee, nothing like that. I'm not trying to make any money on it. I just want to go out and have fun because, like you were talking about, kind of bigger goal. I'm trying to run 100 miles, 100 mile race in all 50 states, and I have recently decided that I also want to do a beer mile in all 50 states. So this will knock Vermont off of my list. So looking at, I'm not sure exactly the area. It'll be one of those things, kind of keep your eyes open to Facebook if you're interested. On the OCRWC site or my Facebook, and you know, I'll share stuff, and Evan can as well. But gonna try, and there's never gonna be in anything making everybody happy. So I kind of just had to pick a time, and I'm gonna have to go with it. So looking at noon on Sunday, so the last day of the event. So I think that might interfere with the women's open team race. And I think it'll be right before maybe the team race awards. I think those are at 12:30.
Gotcha. All right. So noon Sunday, check in with Gary or check in with me. You can swing by the booth, the Strength and Speed booth, and we'll let you know where it's taking place. So my recommendation, I have two recommendations. My recommendation is one, you meet right. There's a path that goes across the street. It's between Longhouse Trail and essentially the start of the village. My recommendation would be you meet right there. And there is a paved path that runs parallel to the road that you can essentially run up and down. And I mean, you really only need 0.125, right?
Yeah, because you're going out and back.
Yeah, you do it out and back because there's not really a good loop area per se, unless you want to run through the village, which you can kind of make a loop. You can kind of make like a, I'm going to say a lollipop, right? So you come down, do a loop through the village, and kind of follow along the backside.
See, I'm going to try and whenever I get there, try and find a place to actually kind of set the course up and even potentially just mark it with just some, you know, like blackboard chalk or flower, kind of like a hash race. Just mark it with flour, something like that. But one of the things I am going to try and do my best to steer clear of any like of the actual festival area, because especially, you know, I'm sure there's going to be somebody that's going to hear about this, and this is going to be the first time they ever try a beer mile. And they're going to get to beer three and they're going to be wobbly. And if it's not kind of, you know, out of the way of general public, they're going to stumble into somebody potentially or puke on their shoes, because that does happen.
Yeah. So my other suggestion would be you start at one of the restaurants, and then that way you could just order beers there. But I was concerned about people vomiting. So I'm going to stand by that first suggestion of starting, or like at least using that as a meeting location, right? And then you can take people to wherever they want. So noon on Sunday, I would meet right where Longhouse Trail, where the house, essentially the start of the village. There's like a whole bunch of flagpoles there. Historically, they've put like city challenges vehicles there that people jump over. That would be my recommendation to meet, and then kind of figure it out from there. And I'm assuming it's BYOB. Yes, you're not providing.
Yes, so it will be BYOB, and like I said, this is just for fun, like, you know, but I will, at least for myself, I will follow standard, like, beermile.com rules. So anybody that's never done a beer mile, a regulation beer mile, you know, normal, ideally you would do it on a track, but it's, you chug a 12-ounce beer. So it has to be, all your beers have to be closed. Like, you can't pre-open your beer, but they say go, you open your beer, chug it, you run a quarter mile, chug, run a quarter mile, chug, run a quarter mile, chug, run a quarter mile. So it's four beers and four laps. You start with a beer and you end with a lap. Beers have to be 5% ABV or higher. Like I said, you know, this isn't, you know, some big, huge event or whatever. I'm not going to go around and check people's beers to make sure that they're, you know, 5%. If somebody wants to drink a Natty Light, which is 4.2, you know, have fun. You know, that's what we're there for. But just so I can mark it off on my books as a beer mile, I'll do a regulation. And I'm going to try and get somebody to time it. So anybody that, you know, just wants to come watch and kind of volunteer, the only thing it's really going to entail is I use the Web Scorer app to time simple races like this. So all you would really have to do is hit a button every time somebody finishes, and that way they have times if they want them. So
nice. Yeah, it's it should be interesting, I'm sure.
Oh, and if you puke, you're supposed to do a penalty lap at the end. Mm. So it then turns into 4 miles and 5 laps. Yeah.
I don't, just so for anyone who's an experienced beer miler, you will not PR on this course. I can guarantee that, because there's not a flat piece of terrain. So you essentially have to run up or downhill, or the trail I recommend using is more of like a rolling hill, because I don't think you actually start descending or really up or really increasing elevation until a little further down the road. I think at 0.12 miles, it'll just be like a kind of like rolling trail at that point. But yeah, we'll see. I would love to see some of the pros out there who are like really fast, to see how fast, like seeing, I would love to see like Vijay come out and see if he can throw down on a beer mile or something like that.
Yeah, that'd
be really interesting.
One of the things I really want to see, because I kind of like, with a lot of my antics, is I kind of like to break down the whole thought that, you know, all athletes or like competitive athletes are just completely, you know, so fit, like don't do anything. Like some people think that we don't do, like all we eat is salad and, you know, boiled chicken breast.
You want to break down that they're boring like me?
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
Everyone.
You said it, not me.
Real athlete. There are athletes in OCR who like to have fun. So it's just not me. So I think I've told this before. There was a running joke in my office at my job a couple years ago that like I do not like fun, because all my like personal activities were, you know, terrible. You know, eating spicy food for no reason, or, you know, running ultras or running ultra OCRs or stuff like that. So yeah, they'd be like, "Oh, you want to go to the bar tonight?" I'm like, "Well, it sounds like fun." They're like, "You coming?" I was like, "No." Like, I don't like fun. So, but yeah, I've heard, I'm not going to tell stories, but I know Brenna, who recently just got married last weekend. Congratulations, by the way, to Tracy Jost from, they got married. They used to be on the Conquer the Gauntlet build crew together. Brenna's got some pretty wild stories that I don't feel comfortable sharing on the podcast, about Sunday night and the kind of the pro athletes letting loose. Cause a lot of people, OCRWC is the end of their race season. So pretty funny stories there, but I'll just leave it at that.
All right.
So that's what we got going on. Any other final thoughts you want to share before we take off?
Oh, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, Evan.
All right. And if you haven't listened to the last episode where I talked about the OCR Pro League, make sure you head over and listen to that. I did have Mike Stefano from Obstacle Running Adventures and William Schell reach out to me, talk about helping out and supporting it if I ever decide to kind of move forward with it. So yeah, check that out. Some pretty interesting concepts. And we'll also ask me to make sure there's a Mythic Race team in there. And like I said, this is an old article, so his race didn't exist when I had drafted the initial one. And I don't think it wasn't an OCRWC qualifier yet. So. But when I rewrite it for a fifth time, I will definitely throw his in there. And I know Mike Stefano is always down for some helping out the sport and helping grow things. So over at Obstacle Running Adventures. And then a quick shout out to the OCR Report also. They host Mike Stefano's podcast. And just got some OCR Report t-shirts and stuff like that. All right, we're going to take off. Gary, I will see you in a couple days. And make sure you stop by the booth again. Giving away jackets. I won't have the jackets there. You'll have to get them mailed to you. But it's same with the UFO shoes. The UFO shoes, you choose the style. So slide or sandal, and you choose the color. So make sure you stop by, giving away free stuff. Pick up some blag mitts, pick up some books, jump in the Normatec. All right. See you this weekend, Gary.
See you this weekend.